Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X, fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 242, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. I mean, we don't have to tell them what day it is, because they know. They already know, right?
Oh, do they not know?
Maybe
do
we
they,
should tell
do
them.
Do they not know?
When is? I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to your discretion.
If you're in Motown, okay, if you're in Detroit, it's your day because it's National Detroit Style Pizza Day.
Yes.
And also, more importantly, National Hydration Day. Sip your fucking water. Keep yourselves hydrated. Fight that stress back with a sip of water.
I got a big thing of water with that has writing on it that yells at me to get hydrated. Get started.
I just gotta
keep chugging. Almost there. You did it. Refill. It would have me drink water until I was dead. until I had water poisoned myself.
So you wash out your kidneys.
Yeah. Anyways, shout out to Detroit Style Pizza, which I still don't fully know what it is, but I bet it's good. And shout out to Hydrash.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. We hope he spanks Oz's bottom red. Let's go, John Fetterman. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, Maine. Yeah, we do hope he spanks Dr. Oz's bottom, little bottom red in the election, I think.
Okay.
I think we can say that.
Play some light tapping.
Closest thing we get to like a major left-leaning candidate, even though the Democrats try to take his ass out. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Are the Lakers, are they feeling Kyrie? Are the Lakers trying to sign Kyrie? Boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's from an obscure Hawaiian reggae band called Innovision. And it's a song called Irie Insulation where they're saying, are you feeling Irie? But all I keep reading is, should Kyrie Irving? Should the Lakers, should they trade AD for Kyrie? Nah, but go on. So this is a lot of, you love the off season because the wackiest headlines keep popping up.
I mean, you maybe Russ for Kyrie straight up.
I mean, Russ and
so
KD back together.
Kyrie's not under contract. Is KD under contract with the Nets? That's my main thing. Is like, I want to see KD come back and like do something to the haters.
Something KD-ish.
And I don't know.
I'm down for a mess.
I don't want to see him get abandoned there.
Yeah. I mean, after watching the Warriors, I'm like, all right, so we don't need to win a championship for at least another season. So I'll just watch like, the mess unfold elsewhere.
Well, speaking of KD in New York, yeah. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented comedian, writer, actor you've seen on Seth Meyers, Corden, HBO's Crashing, his comedy album, Bad Dreams, debuted number one on iTunes, has a new special in the works. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that?
You sure are.
Yeah. Named Best of New Faces by the Village Voice. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Kenny DeForest!
Kenny!
Let's go!
Will he be...
The question about Zach is, will he be Levian? Levin? Zach Levin? I was trying to think of a way to say Levin, like Levine. Livin' Lavina Loca!
There you go.
Hey!
Yes. NBA off-season.
We're about to be like us watching Vladimir Putin wrestle a bear. Go Bear! Because it sounds like we're trading for Rudy Gobert.
Rudy.
Yeah. The man who started coronavirus. Bring him to Chicago.
To you.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So we're talking Bulls. We're talking, I mean, that would be wild. The Bulls were a 2-point specialist team, I feel like, towards the end. If they had Gobert in the middle and they're running the table with scores of like 82 to 66 or something, you know, just shutting everybody down.
Let's bring back the 90s, baby.
The 90s are alive in Chicago.
Why not?
Yeah. Absolutely. What's good, Kenny? How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. It's it was really hard for me to sit quietly through the NBA draft offseason talk. That was really difficult for me to just sit that out. But
just
I'm excited. We're 2 days from the draft. I'm in New York City in the springtime. The streets are alive. And
I think we're fully in summer, Kenny, at this point, though.
You're right. You're
one
right.
One day in the summer. One day. He's allowed to be time one traveling. Day behind.
Yeah. But listen, it's like nice out, and it's about to get bad. There's only one dead rat in the wall of this building, and life is good, man. When there's only one dead rat in the wall, you are living.
Oh, yeah, not bad. Wait, so is it like, how do you know it's just one? Because the stink doesn't feel like two?
The smell, yeah. You just get really used to like. I think it's a male rat just from the odor. I'm like, that's a boy. That's a dead. A man died. I feel like he was, you know, like sort of like the rat version of mountain climbing. I feel like they were like, he's like, I'm gonna see how high I can get in this building, and he made it to the second floor, and that was it, man. Sometimes you don't make it all the way to summit, you know.
He made it to where you're at, a necrotizing flesh sommelier. Like, oh, this is a male.
Get
rat.
Over here. Yeah.
Maybe slightly immature, but I see. Mm. Maybe a little too adventurous.
I'm getting notes of maybe once a lab rat. I feel like things were tested.
Yeah. I'm getting notes of pizza.
Smelling
crust.
Notes of makeup. Maybelline. Is that Maybelline I'm sensing?
No, definitely there's a fruit. Maybe this one got into some maybe spilled nutcrackers. And that's what we have given it this
is this Ratatouille? Is that a minestrone that I'm picking up?
And then meanwhile in LA, we have lost the skill to identify thunder. It was thundering in Los Angeles last night. Nobody, Miles and I both heard it, not in the same bed. We didn't like turn to each other, but we had the same experience where we both like woke up. And we're like, what the fuck's happening? What is that sound? I thought there were like bombs going off. Maybe my kids thought that there was somebody was taking the trash out at 4 a.m. Because that's the closest we come to the sound of thunder is trash cans.
Someone moving two cans at once.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a toucaner.
Dude, it's Angelino's inability to identify weather is so funny. It's like
bombs.
Yeah, like if you're on like the Citizen app or like if you have like a Ring camera, everyone's like, did anyone hear gunshots? It's like, it's just the sky. Like watching Angelinos look at weather is like looking at old people trying to like make sense of an iPhone. They're just like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It both scares and confuses me. And all I know is I don't want to go outside. I don't like it out there.
And I'm not going to ask anyone about it.
No.
I'm going to pretend I know what's up. Oh, okay. Okay. What does it mean when the little dots are coming out of the cloud icon on the weather app?
But yeah, Miles, you had the same thought. You thought garbage cans,
I thought it was garbage
too.
Cans too.
So my kids were born in LA. You were born in LA. That's apparently just that's a sign.
Because we know not of rain, but we know about dragging a garbage can out to the street.
It's like the test in Blade Runner. The only way to tell if someone truly was born in LA. Like if
do you functionally have no idea what thunder sounds like?
So you hold up the sound of thunder and you're like, identify this sound. And if someone's like, that's thunder, you're like, leave LA. You're not from here. Get out of here.
Yeah. Nice try, comrade. I know you're a secret agent. All right, Kenny, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to keep up with Coachella, just the latest happenings, the latest revelations in how Donald Trump tried to steal that election. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened. We know it
happened.
Steely
Dan over here.
Yeah, being told the same thing over and over again. But it is pretty wild. It was more out in the open than I guess we realized.
Well, and also then a surprise character enters. Well, not a surprise character. Someone who we've known was probably has his hands all over this thing. But watching someone get caught in the
Ron
streets
Johns?
Now with all this.
Yeah. The old Johns. Yeah, we'll talk about Ron Johnson. It's been a while.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about people publicly distancing themselves from Trump, which is kind of it happens
the
on
waves.
The regulars every couple months. It's like
watching the
cycles of the moon. We're also going to talk about Ron DeSantis. The New Yorker just did a profile of him that is terrifying. We're going to talk about whether cereal is dying. All of that, plenty more. But before we get to any of that bullshit, Kenny, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
The most recent thing is I was looking for good hikes in the Bristol, Tennessee area, because that is my new activity when I'm on the road. And I will be at the Blue Ridge Comedy Club. Ooh, an early plug. Y'all weren't ready for
it. There it is. I love that.
The 7th, July 8th and 9th. And I was looking... for some dope hikes I can do in Eastern Tennessee. So if any listeners have any suggestions for me, let me know. Your boy's going to have his pack and his camelback, and he's going to be ready to rock up a mountain. So let me know where to go.
How many miles are you talking? Like, what kind of elevations are you into? Like, are you yardcore with it?
I'm starting to push it. You know, my goal is not to you know,
do
crest
Appalachian
Everest.
Trail or something.
Yeah, yeah, but like, if you have, if basically my thing is if the view is worth it, I will go. I'm not looking for, like, I got to pull out ice picks. I'm not there.
Right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll do some bouldering. I don't want to be hanging off the edge of a cliff. I'm not
sure,
Sylvester
sure.
Stallone in 1993. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like to stay on all fours at
a little scrambling.
At the most difficult. Yeah, I'll scramble. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not, you know, I don't want to be in peril.
Yeah.
I'm 36 years old. So that's another thing. Let's put a 36-year-old man on a nice hike where he pushes himself a little bit but maintains his knees.
Right. I got knees to think about.
I got knees to think about, bro. I can't be hopping around.
How long have you been doing that? Have you caught some nice hikes around this nation of ours?
Yeah, dude. Obviously Southern California, come on. It's just like, I've been going up to Ojai. That was, I got really into it over the pandemic, honestly. Like it was one of the only ways you could safely be outside or feel safe is to go on a trail where no one's around and hike. So, yeah, man, there's like sequoias are beautiful. I found this spot just outside of Joshua Tree that's incredible called Corn Spring. It's a Bureau of Land Management road. It's beautiful, man. It's like, you know, public lands, people forget about it. You can go out there and camp for $6.
Yeah. Joshua Tree is the most I've ever felt like I was on a different planet. Like it is a weird place. I love it. Like it's great. It's all just like nature, but the way the plants grow at that elevation, they look like they're in the universe of Dr. Seuss. And then they're just boulders that the earth spit out that are massive, just all over the ground. It is very, very strange. Very cool.
Yeah.
Place.
The desert is a good reminder that like, while we've made our lives incredibly convenient, that can all go away real fast. It's like it's very humbling to be in the desert and be like, yo, I would be in trouble in a hurry if things went sideways out here.
Totally.
I have no skills.
Have you been to Death Valley?
No, that's high on my list. I want to go.
That's another one. You want to act like you're in some other planet. There's some really interesting sights out there too.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway. That is where we discovered that my son has motion sickness to the degree that like he can't go on a road trip without being Dramamined up. And we were driving through Death Valley when we discovered that, and he threw up every like conservatively every 10 minutes. And we were just, after a while, we just gave up. But that shit starts to bake when you're in Death Valley. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to motion sickness. what's something you think is overrated, Kenny?
Man, I'd say like one thing that's overrated is having a full thick hairline. I think we got to stop obsessing over this. You know what I mean? Like
shouts out.
You know, my hair is falling out. Sure. Have I been staring at it in the mirror for hours a day trying to convince myself that what I'm seeing is not what I'm seeing? Sure. Are all my targeted ads on Instagram for anti-hair loss products for keeps. And golf clubs? Does my algorithm think I am now 65 years old? Yes, it does.
Yeah,
right.
But the thing is, I've accepted this, bro.
Yeah.
I'm 6'4". I'm a white dude. I'm funny and fun. What I need hair to. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Can't win them all.
Like, come on, bro. Like,
I can't have all the advantages.
I've had a good run. I deserve to be bald, man. Let me feel a little struggle. You know what I'm saying? So you know, are we fighting back a little bit? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are we going to get a transplant surgery? Probably not.
We're not going to see you going to Turkey anytime soon?
Listen, I'm not going to rule it out because there is a good chance I'll show up one day with like a full, fresh,
full-ass head of hair.
Twisted,
Joel McHale ass looking.
Yeah, like I'm talking Will like Arnett. Twisted Sister in their prime. You know what I'm saying? Shit. I'm talking 80s perm. I might lose my shit. I don't know.
The doctor's like, you can't do perms on this hair. Please, can you? Like, I don't give a fuck.
I'm like, I want you to shave Dee Snider's hair off his head and put it on mine, like a Locks of Love situation.
Do you ever look at somebody who got hair transplant and like wonder what part of their body the hair that is now on their hairline came from? Like I had that question about Joel McHale, who looks great, but his hair is not the consistency of the hair of a normal like hairline. It's like thicker.
He's got some real like ankle hair ass. Head.
Yeah,
you know
ankle,
what I mean?
Hair ass,
ankle hair ass, head ass, ankle hair, head ass. I mean, they usually take it from the back of your head.
Yeah, because yeah. That's maybe, like the strongest. Maybe some people just have like different like texture hair back there, and that's what happens.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah,
all I'm saying is if you do it, you got to know where your male pattern baldness is going because you don't want to end up like Wayne Rooney or LeBron James, two people who were pioneers in their sports, being like, yo, man, I got to get in front of this shit, only to realize they're like, damn, everything behind the transplant's going too?
Right, it keeps going.
They were pulling from the wrong, yeah.
So in a way, just like I said, I for me, like growing up, all because you do, but I think you get that, inherit that gene from like your mother's side, all the men on my mom's side are bald, so like, I was like, this shit's a wrap. Yeah. So I was doing those long looks in the reflection around 23 and like, fuck, what the fuck's going on? Although what's fun though, is sometimes you take a picture where you look like your hairline's back and you're like, oh, look at this shit. I got a good angle.
Well.
Yeah. I was in a photo booth for a wedding and there was one, I thought my shit was like painted on. I look like Jalen Rose and shit. And it was just a very charitable like shadow. So I appreciate
it was a shadow
moments.
Like it was just like a banner.
I almost
got to
get it out and be like,
right
y'all,
angle.
It looks fuck like I'm back, baby. Yeah.
We're back.
Stop everything, bro. Let's
stop everything.
You also got that Twitter nice chestnut hair, Kenny. I was gonna say that's good for a balding man. Like you can just buzz it and then keep the beard and it looks good. Like if you got real dark hair. And you go bald, it's like, I don't know. You look like it can be a little aggressive. So
yeah, man. And it's also like with the transplant thing, it's like, dude, I post pictures and videos of myself constantly. Like people have already seen what's popping. So if I come back with a transplant, people are going to know I got a transplant. They're not going to be tricked. They're going to be like,
or you
bro got surgery. Like if I showed up with if I showed up with a dildo in my pants, you wouldn't be like, wow, Kenny's got a huge dick. Like you would be like... something's going on over there. He's got something fake in there. You know what I mean?
I'd notice immediately, Kenny. I would notice immediately on the day.
What's going on there?
I don't remember Kenny's penis being bright purple and plastic.
And angular.
it vibrates?
Sharp angles.
Reason.
A lot of sharp angles on there. That's a lot of right angles.
The two, I feel like that's a good sort of line of fame that people sometimes reach where they're like, yeah, people are going to notice I don't give a fuck anymore. And they also reach that point with teeth. This is something Jamie Loftus like pays a lot of attention to that I now can't unsee. But it's like when people hit a certain level of fame and just suddenly show up with new teeth in their head, it's like...
It always happens with athletes, though. It's funny because, I follow a lot of soccer players, basketball players, and there's always that second contract, new grill, smile post, or just signed my new deal. And you're like, look at your big ass fake teeth. But okay, you're not capping, but your teeth are. They are capped like no other.
Check out my mouth, all cap.
All right. Cap.
All cap.
Yeah, all cap all here. Day. That's so funny. I mean, ever see Jeremy Piven in PCU? You're like, that is a balding man. You played the man who played George Costanza in Seinfeld.
Right.
What are you doing? You don't need all this.
That's why, I'm waiting. That's why my thing is a bald dude. I'm always waiting. Like, when science is going to bring the LASIK of hair restoration back, I don't want to fucking do a fucking surgery. Like, I don't care enough about that. But if it was like, yo, come in here, we blast your head with this laser, you stem walk cells. Out with a fro.
Stem cells, they're doing that it now. Like the white blood cell stem cell injections. Your boy's been doing his research.
Yeah, see, that's...
Because
and I guess
somehow,
that's
there's,
how...
somehow there's more integrity in stimulating the hair that was already there than taking hair from somewhere else and putting it there. You understand? I don't know what my line is, but that still somehow feels like...
You're like, no, hey, believe in the shit you still got.
Yeah.
Don't give
this
up.
This is my front hair, bro.
Yeah. I've definitely heard from some older, when I was in my 20s and older bald men who were like, you guys are lucky, man. By the time you're in your 40s, they're going to have cured this shit. Nobody will be bald. Having done some research, but yeah. They were not happy
at the end
about
of the day,
the progress.
At the end of the day, all roads to just self-acceptance. That's the only way.
Radical self-acceptance. That was Michael Swain's underrated.
Living in a world where I mean, when I was younger, I got way caught up on that shit because, I wasn't mature or secure enough in who I was to be like, oh yeah, I'm a dude who's losing his hair. A lot of time you just want to be like, nah, man, fuck that. Yeah. So it's something else. And then when you turn that corner, life begins.
It opens up. Everything opens up. Anything can be cured with a little swag. If you take your weakness and you find a way to swag it, then all of a sudden it's now a strength. And people are look at that bald guy carrying himself.
What about Coolio? He just grew the shit out on the sides and braided that.
Yeah.
And we were like, fuck it. Yeah, that's something.
All you
at
gotta do
didn't
is
try and comb it over. So it was coming over the sides.
Well, he did that. He tried
loops.
That.
And he
that
did was, do that for a while.
That was sort of the end of the road. Yeah. And then he said, fuck it, let me part the sea.
That's a tough person to a tough position to be in when you're balding and you are known for your iconic hair more than anything.
Yeah. That's like Joey Lawrence, man. Whoa. He had to go bald with it too,
Yeah. He didn't make it through unscathed. He's isn't he real mega and shit now?
Yeah. He's a total turd.
What's something you think is underrated, Kenny?
Caribbean food, because I just ate some bomb ass Caribbean food on Saturday, and I just always forget what a plate of I had the Branzino fish at this place called the Fat Fowl in Brooklyn. I'm shouting them out because it's so good. Okay. It's in this food court under the Alamo Draft House on the Fulton Mall in Brooklyn. It's where all those local vendors are set up stalls down there.
Okay.
It's called the Fat Fowl. Oh my God, dude. It was on Juneteenth.
Oh, at the DeKalb Market Mall.
That's it. And it was on Juneteenth. And so there was people playing kettle drums and steel drums everywhere and dancing. And I was eating Caribbean food. And I was like, I love this city. I love this world. I'm dancing to Caribbean music while I'm eating the best Branzino I've ever eaten in my life with mac and cheese and sweet plantains. And sometimes life just feels very beautiful. And that was one of those moments.
Nice.
Oh, love to hear that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Absolutely. I got to shout out to Fat Fowl and Caribbean food. Just Caribbean people in general. Lovely folks. I know all your cultures are different, but just generally speaking, I just fuck with the vibe.
Well, it's a true melting pot down there. You know what I mean? There's so many different people down in the Caribbean. And remember when we did our live show in Toronto, we hit up a Caribbean spot. We had roti in Toronto because, you know, there's a lot of West Indians, like people from the West Indies in Toronto. And that, again, like because you have like curries and like the influence of like Indian food, but also like just it's fantastic. I'm a big fan. Mm.
We do allow specific like restaurant specific endorsements, but only if they're in Brooklyn. That has apparently become our
Hey man, if you're getting LASIK too, check out the LASIK Vision Institute in Brooklyn. Right. Also got my vision to 2010.
A lot of Brooklyn specific plugs, even though we're located in a place where we don't even know what thunder is.
If you need hair transplant surgery, go to Turkey, which is located in downtown Brooklyn.
That's right. All right, let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month. Taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back, and Coachella has continued forward. Tuesday, the January 6th committee unleashed a bunch of testimony from various elected officials or election officials in contested states. And yeah, it seems like they're locking it in. It's like, you know,
they're like, he knows he lost. He tried to fucking get me to do some shit. I wouldn't do it. And then I got threatened.
Right. And that's it. He wasn't coming up with new shit each time. He was doing the same thing, and his people were doing the same thing each time.
I feel like, and this is like conjecture because I didn't read the full book. I read like a summary, but that there was that author that was, I think it was Trump's biographer, and he wrote a whole thing about Roy Cohn, the mob lawyer that basically taught Trump how to do things. And I think, and I've noticed this in Trump's behavior, and it would be very mafioso. I think his modus operandi the whole time has been, as long as you can manipulate the narrative, you can literally do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can afford really good lawyers, nothing will stick to you.
Yeah.
So do whatever you want. And I think we're about to, I think that method is finally starting to, like, we're going to see. We're going to see. Is there really a lawyer so good that they can get you out of literally everything? That's what we're about to find out.
I mean
his whole life, he's just been, it's more a delay game. It's not that they like get him out of it. It's just they delay, throw enough suits at it. Like that people are just like, we're like tied up. We're the U.S. government. And we're still like, we can't deal with this shit. We're like tied up for years. If we want to just stick after this dude, who's like, who died 20 years ago by the time they like get to any of this shit.
Yeah. He's like a master gaslighter, because what he just does so much insane shit that he gets people reacting to it, and then he flips it and he's like, "See how hysterical everyone is? They're always yelling at me. Yeah. Obviously, they're crazy. They just pick apart everything I do. Look at the last 2 weeks, X, Y, Z." And then his followers are just like, "Yeah, he didn't do that. You're just saying he did it." And it's just like insane.
You're just playing a video of him saying he did it.
Right.
That's cap. So now, as you find out, people like Mr. Raffensperger in Georgia and like the speaker in, I believe it was Michigan, these officials, they basically were like, I'm not going to go there with that. Like, I took an oath. Like, that was just a little bit too far.
That was their response to him being like, "Hey, why don't you give me the election?
Why don't you just fucking break the law, fool? Aren't you down?" No? Okay. Well, don't check your Facebook, because people are going to be outside your house screaming at you. And then, I mean, so again, these Republicans, basically these few like elected officials who had their hands in, whether it was like the state legislature or the, you know, the Office of Elections in the state, they were apparently just barely craven, not fully craven, just fucked up to the point that they could like look the other way for most stuff, but not to the point where many people had to break the law. And then we heard from these two women, Shay Moss and her mother, Ruby Freeman, who they were volunteering in the in Fulton County in Georgia, like most people do. You want to go and work at your polling place because you think that this is a good way for you to, you know, help your community through voting, because that, you know, that's been something been dangled in front of many people's faces. And these two black women, they were at this Fulton County polling place when suddenly they found themselves on the other side of a conspiracy theory cooked up by Rudy Giuliani and co. About how they were walking out of the polling place or the state polling station with suitcases of ballots. And they spoke about how traumatic that shit was. They said, "I was just trying to help out in my community. And then the president literally is singling me and my daughter out for fucking what?" And when you hear that, you're like, holy shit. I mean, that's, can you imagine, right? Even being in a situation where suddenly your fucking name, any fucking anyone listening's fucking name starts coming out of Trump's mouth and being like, "This is the person that stole the election," and what the fuck that experience is like. And when you hear it from the testimony of Shay Moss and Ruby Freeman, you're like, oh my God, like lesser people would probably cave constantly. Like whether it was, when you talk about these other officials, I mean, I don't mean to say that they're like, figures of or profiles in bravery from like these like, you know, Republican speakers of the state legislature. But in that sense, you can tell how much fucking pressure comes, like you just get enveloped in it. And that's the environment that you're still trying to be like, this is, I fucking have to do what's right. And then, yeah, you realize there is no limit. There are no, there's clearly no boundaries when it comes to trying to act out this shit for them.
Well, and it's got to be like, I can't imagine being a Republican that is not down with Trump right now, because on the one hand, in your mind, you want to be like, well, hey, listen, we're always the party of law and order. We're the party of this. We're the party of limited government, which means we shouldn't even be intervening in a lot of this stuff. So you want to believe that your base is common sense somehow. Yeah. But then you see like the Josh Hawley, like those people are winning all around you. Mm-hmm. And so I like to do the right thing. You want to think that your base is going to stay with you, but there's a lot of evidence that suggests that they're not. So what an insane situation to be in.
I mean, on both sides, right? Like even if you're a Democrat and you say something like, "I don't know if I can vote for Joe Biden," like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" It's like, whoa, okay. But in this instance, it really is like it, the levels that they're going to should really, I think, serve as, again, just repeated reminder of really how one party is fully focused on doing away with all norms and laws that would prevent them from keeping power. At this point, law and order only means keeping marginalized people from acting up. That's what 100%. Law and order is. That's all that. That's all that means. And now they've fully just jettisoned the idea of like, well, that means we need to live in a law-abiding or peaceful society. No, no, no. It's get the fuck out the way.
Trump took coded language and threw it out. There is no more coded language. I mean, if anything, you could say it's thinly veiled. Like, it's certainly not coded.
Yeah, and
it's very transparent. And that's, you know, it's to your point, like. The reason people get upset if you criticize is because the stakes are so high. Like the other, it's like, yes, both sides, but also one side is so much more terrible. Yeah, yeah. And dangerous. I don't mean to and that's the thing.
I'm not like, trying to lump everyone together, but there's clearly like all parties have a thing where there's like a mainstream view. If you fall out, that's when like it starts being like, well, they're kind of like one of these fringe fucking freak people who don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
Which brings us to Ron Johnson, who is probably, I mean, we give this award out a lot, but he is not bright for someone who is a sitting senator. And we found out.
Remind us of who, like, how did he get famous in the first place?
Where do you start? He's had terrible takes on like anything. We'll do a random thing where I'll just say, I'll search his name with the word abortion. He says, Ron Johnson tells pregnant people to suck it up and go out of state for an abortion if they want one. That's like sort of his repeated thing is like, there's no such thing as a human. It's just like, suck it up if you're poor. I don't know.
Ron Johnson is just like such a shitty stepdad name too. Like that's for sure the name of the guy banging your mom. And Ron. He's got that Ron.
Ron's having a real moment right now. We'll get to another Ron who's probably going to be the next president a little later on.
Ron is definitely a parrot head. He follows Buffett on tour. He definitely has a battery-powered margarita blender that he has on him at all times.
Yeah.
He definitely is hooked on some sort of opiate.
Yeah.
And and then his views are just informed by everything I just told you.
100%. So he's out here, he's in the spotlight. Losing his religion, because the committee comes out with a text exchange from his chief of staff and this guy Chris Hodgson, who is like, I believe Mike Pence's like legislative director, like his like main like policy wonk guy, and there's like this back and forth where the chief of staff is saying like, hey, I got this like alternate slate of electors that I need to give to that Ron Johnson has to give to V. POTUS. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? He's like, it's these alternate electors. And Pence's staff member's like, do not give that to him. And this was on the day of January 6th. This is like right before the shit's getting breached. These are the text messages being exchanged, almost being like, hey, I can give him this thing that looks like the electors from this other state. But even though the National Archives received those things as part of the certification process and the archives know that these are bullshit electors, these are not the ones that were actually certified. Like there was no need to have a conversation about it. But clearly Ron Johnson was like, got to get this in their hands, man. Got to get V. POTUS on this.
So we have them accusing the two election officials in Fulton County of stealing ballots and like doing some shady shit with actual ballots. And like, that's complete bullshit. But then we have them on the day when the thing is being certified, trying to put fake votes in, like trying to put votes that were not representative of the electoral results in the hands of the vice president. Like they just that guilty of the exact thing that they're accusing everybody else of.
That is their playbook every time. Yeah. Yeah. If a Republican accuses somebody of doing something, you would need to immediately investigate that Republican for that thing.
Holy like anyone, shit.
Anyone who's like, that guy's a pedophile. It's like, uh-oh, that guy's a pedophile.
I was just about to say, the amount of pedophilia like that must be happening in this country with like the way that their accusations flow. Damn.
I mean, Rudy Giuliani loves to throw that one out, and we all saw him on Borat 2 fully ready to go to town with a teenage girl. So that's like, you know, what are we doing here? Unbelievable.
Constant figures, even like in the Southern Baptist Church now, like that we're finding more and more out about, but don't start telling the evangelical set about where the predators might actually be in their own churches. But again, this is all part of the playbook. Just be like, I don't know, it's fine. Like I think so many people clearly were like, we're doing some wild illegal shit, but if we win, he'll be president and nobody's going to see the inside of a jail because that's,
yeah,
we're all counting on this shit to work. So,
well, and I think they thought he's going to be president forever. Like, I honestly think there was a thought of like, we can rig this thing to where Trump just keeps being president. And then right. We just groom his predecessor and we just keep going down this path.
Yeah.
The wild thing is after this comes out, like this testimony comes out in the hearings, many people in the press were like, what the fuck? What? Y'all have these text messages from Ron Johnson's chief of staff? So they caught his ass on the Hill right after this shit comes out just to try and ask him like, yo, fam, what's up with what we just heard? You were trying to put these fake electors in Pence's hands and he handles it like the most panicked goon you've ever seen trying to take a fake phone call. And you can hear him get called out by the reporter.
Know about what your chief of staff was doing with the alternate slates of electors.
He said, I'm on the
no,
phone.
You're not. I can see your phone. I can see your screen.
He's still pretending to be on the phone.
What your chief of staff was doing.
He's just saying, can you explain
your chief of staff still work for you, Senator?
Can you explain what happened there? Why was your chief of staff even offering this to the vice president?
That's a complete non-story. We've issued a statement. Yeah, this is a non-story.
He just said it's a non-story, guys.
This is a complete non-story. This is a complete...
Please leave me alone.
It is one of the worst attempts. I've seen some bad attempts at fake phone calls. I've performed, given really bad performances, occasionally hammy, oh, yeah, over-the-top performances where I'm like overdoing it.
You go, hold on, like,
oh, man. Other times where I just have the phone press there and I'm just like, they won't notice. They won't notice. And yeah, he was doing the underacting, the very naturalistic.
He had that, yeah, phone so far out from his ear, the reporter's like, bro, I can see your lock screen. What are you, yeah, fucking talking about? Like, yeah, you're not even putting it straight on your face and do the thing. I'm on a fake call when I go like this. Nah. For real? Yeah. And I go, I'm sorry, I gotta take this. I go, nah. And I just keep saying nah on my way out of the room. Yeah. He couldn't even do that.
I mean, listen, I don't hate the game. This is what I do when I have to take a dump in New York City, is I walk, mm-hmm, in a bar and I'm like, is this the right bar? All right, I'm here. I'll order us drinks. And then I go use the bathroom and I come out and I go, oh, a different bar? My fault. Sorry, guys. And I leave. So I get it. It's a great tool. But
poor Ron Johnson, though. Again, he was like also a big ivermectin fan. Like I said, it's hard for me to remember everything because just think of every bad policy. He capes for it harder than anyone. To the point where he's like, we all might be horses. Nay, I don't know. But they caught him again. Manu Raju caught him again around the Capitol and pressed him again, being like, okay, so then what's up? Like, who gave you this shit? What is the deal here? And this guy sounds like me at 13 getting caught smoking like one of my grandma's cigarette butts or some shit. Like, I don't know. It flew into my mouth.
Some staff intern...
Uh-huh.
You know, said we got to, you know, the vice president needs this or whatever. You know, I wasn't involved. I don't know what they said, but somebody from the House delivered it to a staff member in my office, my chief of staff, called the vice president, hey, we got this. And the vice president said, don't deliver it. We didn't.
Are you curious about the identity of this person? Are you curious about the identity of this person? Do you want to ask about
it? No. It was an intern.
This is a complete non-story, guys.
He's making
complete non-story.
The best
fight. I mean, I still don't understand. If you get an envelope.
Listen, if this were a real committee, they'd be asking, why wasn't the Capitol secured? You know, who's in charge of that security? This is a total partisan witch hunt.
He out of breath.
I was not involved in this at all, you know.
Where's this motherfucker always walking to? I feel like he's trying to get his steps in on this day that he should be laying the fuck low.
I don't know.
I mean, what an insane... I don't, like, who... What do you mean you don't know who gave it to? It's on your staff. You're blaming your staff. And it's such a...
Staffer gives it to my intern. My intern's like, the vice president needs this, so I call the
vice
president.
Okay, which intern?
Like, that's how shit
which
works.
Intern? That's easy. Say, name the intern.
Since when is it a sign of incompetence to have incompetent staff? Right. Since when is that a reflection of me as a person? What do you mean, Mom? What do you mean who gave a child cigarettes to smoke? Why does that matter? Why does that matter? I have the cigarettes. I smoked the cigarettes.
We're so close. We're just one intern away from having the entire integrity of the U.S. electoral system overturned, because apparently if an intern suggests someone does something, like, the fucking senator has to do that thing.
Right.
You know what I really can't stand about these MAGA people more than, you know, everything? Is they've made people like Mike Pence look reasonable. Like, Mike Pence is the hero of this story.
Yeah.
I know, he's not doing shit.
No.
Exactly. No. But that's what he's best at.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like how Mitt Romney had a moment. It's like, I don't want Mitt Romney to have a moment. Stop it.
I mean, speaking of Mike Pence, though, like, this guy really, we're talking like, oh, I wonder what he's going to do. You know, it looks like there's a lane clearing up for him if he can just, you know, stab his old boss in the back. And he had a chance to be like, yo, what do you think about the president and all this, like, the lies or whatever. And this hearing goes, you know, honestly, I've never seen a president lie more than Joe Biden. And you're like, oh my God.
I mean, he has no chance. Like, anybody who tells you he has a chance is deluded by, like, you know, I think there was a time when donors were powerful enough that they could, like, get, like, push someone into relevancy. But that's just not the case anymore. I really hope that a lot of billionaires are spending a lot of money on him as a candidate, because he has no fucking shot. Absolutely none. Yeah.
No. He was probably in a debate. Trump would be like, why don't you kiss my ring, Mike? He's like, oh,
well,
I will, but that
doesn't mean anything. And here it is, I'm going to do that now. But then we can move on to a reasonable debate.
Because I'm an American and I respect a former president. Okay. Okay. Now, are we done? Okay.
Can we talk about Mulan?
Oh, you want to put my foot in your mouth too? Okay. I'll deep throat the wingtip.
Okay. Well, what's funny about it too is Trump absolutely suns his entire, like, all of his colleagues. He suns them in front of his base. And then they try to act like these people. They respect Trump because he treats this like wrestling. He is a professional wrestler as a president, and
he's Vince McMahon.
He just comes out and delivers diss tracks, and people go crazy. They're not going to respect you, Mike Pence. He had people on January 6th trying to hang you. There were people trying to find you and hang you from a gallows.
Kenny, I got to tell you, the person, I've never seen anybody hang like the president. Joe Biden's leaving the American people hanging. So,
oh boy. I mean, I almost changed my name to Mark Curry because I was going to be hanging with Mr. Cooper later on. Anyway, shout out Holly Robinson, Pete. Real, real wonderful woman. Real wonderful woman.
I mean, that's true.
Shout out Holly Robinson, Pete. But yeah, I mean, and this is all happening in the backdrop, right? Where, like, now, like, Fox seems to be showing a little bit more of the Jan 6 stuff. More so because I feel like they're like, man, if we treat it like the, like, album that you don't want your kids to listen to, guess what? They're going to go and find a way to listen to the album. Even if you know, you're being like, it's bullshit, you need to waste your time. They clearly are like, fuck, if they're going to look somewhere else, they better just hear at least our fucked up commentary on it. And you've heard some things be somewhat favorable at times. You know, you have the odd analyst being like, I think he probably crossed a line there and charges may be realistic. And, like, that's the most extreme thing you'll hear. And then they shot this person out. But while all this is going on, like, the GOP is like, they're spending a lot of their energy trying to, like, pretend what's happening in this January 6th thing is nothing to look at, while also trying to figure out, you know, aside from rat fucking the next election, how to bring in, potentially turn out a few more voters. But while this is happening, right, you got people like Dr. Oz. He basically disappeared any mention of Trump from his socials, from his website. Nothing, the words, like, there's not even a thing that he's, like, endorsed by Trump on his website. So he basically, once he got out the primary, he basically Mariah'd Trump, you know, just being like, oh, I don't know her.
That's what Virginia guy did, right? Who, like, successfully.
I mean, this is par for the course for someone in a swing state, because you can only ride the MAGA wave so far before you're like, it starts getting toxic. If I stay on a little bit too long, it's too hot. So
it's scary. I'm too high. I'm too high on this shit. Yeah.
So that's like clockwork. Then you have the fucking one of the organizers of the January 6th rally, one of the fucking people who put this shit together, the rally for him to speak at. She basically is out here saying Trump is washed. This woman, Amy Creamer, she said, quote, Donald Trump is disconnected from the base. It's time for those of us in the movement to get back to basics, back to basics, back to our first principles. We were here long before President Trump came along, and we're going to be here long afterward.
Now, which when is a she pretty... says disconnected from the base, does that mean not racist enough? That's usually what that means in that context.
In a way, or not dumb enough to back Mo Brooks. We talked about Mo Brooks. He, you know, from Alabama, one of the silliest motherfuckers in the Congress, who wore body armor on January 6th, but was like, yeah, but I just did that because, you know, I forgot my tech fleece in my car. I just need to be warm. That's why I had this ballistic vest on. She was a big supporter of his, and that race just ended. And we talked about how Trump abandoned Mo Brooks's ass and left him just out there in the cold. And as a result, Mitch McConnell's pick, who the mainstream, or not mainstream, but that old school GOP Mitch McConnell wing backed this other candidate, she won. So I think this Amy Creamer woman is a bit in her feelings about that, but also at the same time, more willing to be like, man, what the fuck? Like, people being like, man, this shit doesn't hit anymore. That's kind of like what it's starting, the subtext feels like when people say stuff like that. It doesn't hit the same.
Yeah. You know? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about the big schism that's happening right now in MAGA, because DeSantis is also kind of distancing, and DeSantis is scary as fuck, man. Yeah. Like, yeah. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X. Makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run, Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And yeah, so it seems like DeSantis is going out of his way to not like seek Trump's endorsement, like to endorse Trump, really. Like, they're just like, yeah, they're cool. But like, it's.
Yeah, he's kind of like Drake trying to get out of his Young Money deal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where he's like, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much up until this point. I feel like I may be able to put my own shingle out and see what I do, see if how popping I can get with just my name not attached to this. And that's basically, in so many words, what the people around Ron DeSantis are saying, that he isn't interested in seeking Trump's endorsement for re-election in November. So right. I think that's, if that's true, that truly shows like he's trying to test the brand. He wants to see if the brand is strong enough without Trump, and being in a state like Florida, that already gets you a lot of conservative cool points. And the fact that he can, all he does is nonstop culture war bullshit right. and like no governance. They love that even more. And I think that's what makes him a very scary option.
Yeah, the New Yorker just did this profile on him that is, you know, it's humanizing in the way that like all profiles tell you a story where like the person is the protagonist in a sense, because you like find out how they grew up and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also as far from humanizing as something in that format can get, because even like his high school friends and like his college friends are all like, yeah, he's like kind of a creep. He's like just like real distant and like will stab you in the back the first chance he gets, and like doesn't really seem to believe in anything, but they're all like, but he's so fucking smart and creative, and like you cannot fuck with this man. Like it really, like I walked away, I was like, oh, this is the guy. People were always like, think about like the worst case scenario when like a smart version of Trump comes along. This is the
he actually went to Harvard
motherfucking Terminator.
Isn't he Harvard and Yale?
Harvard, Yale undergrad, Harvard law school, does all the homework, like knows the angle to take that is like closest to the truth for whatever he can like bend into a like outrageous talking point. I remember when at the very beginning of the pandemic, when I was like, you know, doing essentially like oppo research, but like trying to figure out like what, like, was there any shred of evidence? Where was all of this? Like the pandemic is overblown. Like, don't listen to the science shit coming from. And like the very closest I could come to finding any scientific backing was this epidemiologist at Stanford, who basically said that the best the government could do was like just let people run business as usual, wait for a vaccine. It's, you know, it's been pretty thoroughly debunked, but he's still at Stanford. He apparently had tenure, and he still stands by it. But the profile opens with DeSantis reaching out to that guy, like around the same time that like everybody else was like, you know, trying to figure out this thing. He reached out to that guy. The doctor talks to him and is like, yo, this dude not only like reached, like found me, he has read all the literature, like not just the briefs, the actual literature, and has like has the most pertinent questions that you would have if you've read and understood all that shit. It's just, he doesn't give a fuck about people's lives. Like that's the impression you get. He cares about power and that like single-minded focus from day one, from when he was like I think they even have quotes from, he was on like a team that made it to the Little League World Series. He, like even the people back then are like, yeah, man, he's real, real motivated, really, single-minded, very, his teammates in college, like, cause he played college baseball, were all like, not a good teammate, not a good guy, but really smart and like really, motivated. But most importantly, like the thing that really scared me the most is that he doesn't give a fuck about public opinion, which is the thing that truly freed Trump to be Trump. He's like not going to, that's the difference between Trump and like every other politician. They all worry about public opinion at a certain point, and like he just doesn't give a fuck like that. He seems to like be working with his own internal barometer. He's also not older than the invention of doorknobs.
He's 43. So he was born in 78.
He would destroy Joe Biden in an election. Like he would rinse that motherfucker if it was just like Biden versus him. Like that's not gonna go well. The Democrats need to be thinking about what they're gonna do if this motherfucker runs.
And I think this is kind of where I'm sure the GOP is at this crossroads to think like, man, okay, do we jettison from Trump? Because we might have something in DeSantis here.
Yeah. I used to think that was unlikely. And now I'm starting to think that's at least a story that we should be paying attention to, because it might make sense for them to start thinking DeSantis.
I mean, he sounds like if Ted Cruz hadn't melted yet.
right. Yeah.
Like, he's like charismatic Ted Cruz.
He's not charismatic. That is one detail. The guy's like, when you meet him in person, he can't even like talk to you. Like, he can't even stay on subject. It's just like he is he's like a machine that is built for public office.
Right.
He's aloof and like a complete like asshole in person. But like when he gets up, like just in terms of like how he positions himself, he's very good.
You're, what it sounds like, just with a couple UCB improv classes, he might be really something to mess with, because he can improv like Trump. Because that was Trump's biggest thing too, is he loved to improv. That and like right. I think Riffing. That helped this appearance that he's not like another politician. Where I'm sure, but at the end of the day, they love DeSantis for the culture war shit, not the MAGA right. jazz.
Well, and I think here's something that's maybe hopeful on the side of it, is if he's going to publicly basically say Trump ain't shit, I don't need him. Well, if we know anything about Donald Trump, he's going to come after you. And
right.
it is very, if you're not with me, you're against me. It's not going to be like, oh, fine, well, don't get my endorsement. See how you do. It's like, oh, yeah. You don't want my endorsement. Well, guess what? I'm now your opponent.
Yeah, guess who's running not on the Republican ticket?
That's exactly right. So that's what I'm hoping. This is definitely split, you know, and it's happening on both sides, but the Republican Party is just like fracturing right now.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I hope.
That would be great if Trump also ran, if they both ran for president.
Well, that's why, I mean, we talked a few weeks ago about how he was talking about announcing on the 4th of July his candidacy for 2024 because
Trump
wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he really has an eye on the field, and he's like, fuck, man, I don't know if it's Nikki Haley I'm going to have to go toe-to-toe with, if it's Ron DeSantis. But these are younger people who have followings in significant like regions of the country that you need to win an election. And that, you know, that may be factoring all into this. But, you know, at the end of the day, like you're saying, Jack, I think the thing that's scary, like I didn't realize he was a nihilist. You know, like I didn't really, he believes in nothing, and he's ordering the lingonberry pancake. He gets the lingonberry pancake when he's at IHOP.
I want to go to Pancake's house. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pigs and blanket. But that's his order, and he believes in nothing. And I think that's also very frightening too, because that's kind of like that level of like, oh yeah, I have no boundaries in my naked right. pursuit of power and however right. that comes.
But I do think that's why that side of the aisle is what I'm hoping, why I'm hoping for a great fracture, is because no one on that side of the aisle has an actual idea of a greater good anymore. There might be a few people that we don't talk about, but this like core, this MAGA core, these are all just opportunities.
Oh yeah, this is like an ethno state.
And they will tear each other apart. This was all a pursuit of power. So many of these MAGA people, QAnon, whatever. If you think about QAnon people, a lot of people in QAnon were kind of like losers before. I mean, I don't mean to be like judgy, but like then they get big in this world and now they have power and they're like, well, I'm not going to give that power back. I'm not going back to no YouTube views. I'm staying at this 20 million or whatever the hell I got.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, that's their motivation.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they get losers in a very real sense of like economic losers who, you know, much of this country has been treated like shit by the country and like given up for dead. And that those people, yeah, there's desperation there. That's why, like,
right.
I think we're in such a dangerous position, is because like the only thing that is offering a alternative to the mainstream, like, well, we're going to like get Wall Street to, you know, keep the economy propped up and then you'll keep getting like, you know, mainstream Democrat or mainstream Republican like plans to help you out. Like that shit is gone. And the only people who are offering an alternative are fascists. Like that's not a good position to be in. Like the left needs to hurry the fuck up and figure out what we're going to do, because they're there already. Like they are there.
Well, their game plan is simple. Their play is very easy. It's just like, hey, everything they say is bad is not actually bad. They're saying it's bad to scare you. I'm the only one brave enough to say this. Mm-hmm. Follow me. And basically it's just like, don't worry about this shit because it isn't real. And that's like relieving to people. They're like, oh, thank God. And then so many of these people were left for dead, talked down to by the left. Coastal elitism is a real thing, as somebody from Missouri. You know, there's only so many times someone can refer to you as a flyover state before you throw two middle fingers up and go, okay, I guess I'm not for you then.
Right.
And so these people speak that language. It's, you're significant. You matter. You've been screwed over by these people. Nancy Pelosi's worth $150 million. You think she cares about you? And they point to a very valid critique of the Democratic establishment, that it's a bunch of hypocrites that are super wealthy and disconnected. And it's a very appealing candidacy if you don't have critical thinking skills, if you are not highly educated to where you understand the intricacy of systems, and you just go, okay, I'm being spoon-fed something that makes me feel significant. I'm in 100%.
Yeah.
And it's all emotion, and it's all, but it's
because the other people keep telling me it's something to do with structural racism or some shit. I don't know. Right. I'm not interested in that worldview.
That sounds,
and I can't wrap my head around
it. Sounds very hard. Immigrants. I understand that.
Right. And again, that's why it's like, there are a few ways to look at how to make your life better. And like you're saying, Jack, the people who are offering fascism and violence seem to have a flashier brand at the moment than basic human like needs being met.
Than nothing. Like John Fetterman literally is like the closest that they've got to like somebody who won a major election and like at least supported Bernie Sanders. Like other than that, like there's not a whole lot on the national stage right now. And the Democrats will continue to make that the case as currently constructed. Well, speaking of being spoon-fed something that makes you feel good, is cereal dying?
That's a great question because Angela Pagan at The Takeout, one of our favorite food blogs, just like wrote this article like sounding the alarm, which was saying we can't let cereal die is what the name of the piece is. And, you know, there is significance to cereal, right? I think as she points out, it's like making cereal. It's like one of the first things a child ever learns to make for themselves, almost like the first intricate meal that you ever make is like over pouring a bunch of fucking cereal and spilling a carton of milk. And you're like, yes, I am on my way to being adult. But she points out to the fact that, like, you know, Kellogg's like just splintered off into three different like subgroups for their business because like they need to get sales up. And cereal apparently has just become, it's just in a decline. It shows that most people, they're opting for other things, more portable breakfast options, like a breakfast bar or something like that. In 2016, there was like an analysis done that estimated sales of cold and hot cereals to total around $10 billion, which was 17% less than what they did in 2009. And then that, like, basically they projected a steady decline all the way into 2020, and it's been holding up. And they're pointing to the fact, they say convenience and portability play a large role in why people have begun turning away from the classic breakfast option. And as she points out, another research firm surveyed consumers back in 2015 and found out that 39% of millennials said cereal was inconvenient because you have to clean a dish afterward. And I'm like, that's factual.
That's
like
us.
That is fact.
That's us. Big
I'll just eat it out the box if I have to.
They need to. All right. Whatever they make, what's that blender? Vitamix blenders out of. Cereal companies need to give those out. And then you can just like a cereal bowl made out of that, a cereal spoon made out of that. And then they'd be golden because like that shit, you just like put it in the sink and put a little water on it and just everything slides right off of it. Granted, it's probably like giving us all cancer 30 years from now, but that shit.
My blood type is plastic. Yeah. Last time I went to the doctor's office.
Exactly. I don't know. Like we still have, you know, five or six boxes of cereal at any given time in our household.
But that's the thing that she's pointing out. Like, adults, are we going to embrace cereal again? Because we can't just count on the children to keep cereal alive. Are we going to? And she did point out in 2020, cereal, there was an uptick because a lot of adults were home and they're like, yeah, fuck it. I like cereal. Like, I got a minute. I'll eat a bowl of cereal. But then that sort of trend is dying off again.
Cereal is dessert. Like, basically, like that's how I treat it. I don't have a bowl of cereal and be like, and now I am on my way to a healthy day the way I once did. Like, that's for sure. One big thing that has improved my, cereal, like made me more likely to eat cereal now is like lactose-free milk. I didn't realize I was lactose intolerant or like, you know, I'm probably like 40% lactose intolerant, but does it. Like I felt like taking a nap every time I ate cereal. And then I started getting lactose free milk because our kids are lactose intolerant. And, now I can eat cereal with abandon.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
See,
but I don't, because
I'll be honest,
it's a big sloshy cereal, like soup in your belly, like right after you eat it. It doesn't feel great.
I haven't pulled a box of cereal off the shelf and put it into my cart since probably 2012.
Wow. So you're the problem.
Yeah.
I like savory breakfast. When I eat cereal, like when I was really eating it, I was like in college and I would be so high, and it was the easiest way to get calories that didn't involve heating food. So I would eat a salad mixing bowl's worth of like a half box of Rice Krispie Treat cereal right before class, not knowing how nutrition worked. But since then, I guess that continued for 5 years after that. And then in 2012, I finally got my shit together.
Yeah, I see headlines like this, and I'm always like, do we have to save it? Like,
the reason, that's the other thing.
The reason we're moving on from it is because there's better things. Like, for breakfast this morning, I had a cereal-adjacent item. I had a bowl of Siggy's yogurt with blueberry vanilla granola mixed in it, which is like basically just like, hey, it's cereal, but less sugar and more probiotics, and you'll actually feel full because of the yogurt.
Right.
I didn't know about that.
So you're also part of the problem?
So I was slopping cereal. Yeah. Oh, 100% part of the problem.
Cereal traders out here.
Absolutely.
I mean, I guess...
I've never been pro cereal. I'm a hot breakfast or a quick breakfast.
See, for me, I like savory. If you're going to offer me breakfast, I don't even eat pancakes. Like, I don't... Like, give me salt. Thank you. Shout out to my blood pressure.
Yeah. I put cereal down. For our kids, I put a small, like, mixture of, like, four cereals. One that's, like, somewhat sweet, with like a bunch of other like more healthy cereals. I put that like down while I'm making the eggs. I never consider like, okay, you've had breakfast, but like that's something that will keep them occupied, because if they don't eat within like a half hour of waking up, it's bad.
Something hit me. There's a reason for this, maybe, because millennials are having less kids. Only one of us in this chat has children that I'm aware of. And you're the one with the cereal.
I'm the one with the cereal.
That's the cereal juice. You know what I mean?
But it's like for tired parents. It really is. Cereal is for tired parents. It's
what it is.
Here, you can't tell your teacher I didn't feed you now. So here's this. Go to school. Please get out of my face.
And if we go way back, right, because we talk about this, if we're talking Kellogg, it was anti-fap material.
Well, the reason that I serve it to my kids is because I can't keep them off themselves, just constantly pounding it unless I give them cornflakes. Yeah, cornflakes. That was the original thing. He was like, you got to feed them not spicy, bland, shitty tasting cereal, or else they'll just be masturbating all day. And it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe your whole culture is fucked up and you need to look at something besides whether the food you give them tastes too good.
It's like when one guy is accidentally revealing his secret stuff. Yeah, exactly. Y'all know how if you eat a tasty breakfast, you just jack off all day? Like, we all do that, right? We gotta stop this. Every time I have an avocado toast, I just beat off 30 times. I'm like, I can't have this.
Who's with me?
Please. Some more shredded cardboard, please.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, there is definitely some line goes up shit. Like, the whole idea that cereal is like dying off is like, it's down year over year. It's like, yeah, well, maybe like it's still going to be a thing. It just won't be like, it won't have an entire aisle of the grocery store. It will have, a little section where people who still enjoy cereal, like, they'll still be able to make money off of it. It's going to be fine.
Could you imagine, though, as a society, we just full stop reject cereal like within the next 10 years? Like, and then we never saw cereal in the United States again. I mean, no, the corn lobby is way too powerful for that shit to happen. So
who's drinking milk? What I mean? Like, that's part of it, too. Like, those things go hand in hand.
I'm off that. I drink, like, I put oat milk in my coffee now.
Yeah.
Me too.
As we learn more, I'm like, damn, my eating habits will catch up to me eventually. And, like, when you look at, like, the rates of, like, things like colon cancer and stuff like that, and how that relates to certain things, diets and stuff, I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe at a certain point you got to take that part seriously. But not now, because the world is too stressful, so I will eat a block of cheese every day.
Yeah, dude, let me tell you what's not dying: a block of cheese.
Hell yeah. Although don't we still have like record cheese surpluses too in the country? So,
oh wow,
yeah,
send it my way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they might let you into one of those caves where they keep all that fucking cheese. So,
oh,
you
know. To the dome,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, right to the dome, cheese to the dome. Kenny, such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you, follow you?
I always have so much fun. Thank you for having me, man. I have not looked at Twitter since Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, and so don't. I don't.
Good for you.
I still have an account, and I might. Right. I'm probably going to deactivate it, but I'm just telling you. So Instagram is where I'm at now. That's where I'm popping. I want you to follow me on Instagram if you're going to follow me. It's at Kenny DeForest. I post clips of my stand-up, but this is the thing. I don't post it daily. Everyone's like, you got to post something daily. It doesn't even matter if it's good. And I respect my followers more than that. So I actually need your help. I need a little word of mouth on my Instagram. Tell your friends, like, hey, he's a comic. He posts captioned videos. But he only posts them when they're good. And you'll kind of forget that you follow him for short stretches of time. And then something will pop up in your feed. And you'll be like so grateful that he doesn't post it every day. And it'll be a nice treat. And you'll be like, oh, this guy I like. I'm so glad he posted one video this week because it's actually good. And it's not a half-baked premise because he's trying to trick the algorithm into giving him a career. Okay? So follow me. I will not inundate you. And then tell your friends. Like, hey, this guy, he's not too much. You won't have to mute him. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Kenny, is there a tweet or something on social media anywhere that you've been enjoying?
I have been on a huge rabbit hole of this YouTube series called Soft White Underbelly. And I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's incredible. And it's this photographer whose studio is on Skid Row. And the long and short of it is he always believed that a picture told the whole story. And he did this series of photographs of people across the United States, and people had follow-up questions. And he was like, you know what? Maybe I should interview people. And because he's on Skid Row, he interviews a ton of unhoused folks. He interviews prostitutes. He interviews pimps. He interviews drug addicts. It's people that are sort of on the fringes of society. And his whole thing is, I am non-judgmental. So these people really open up to him. And he pays them for their time. So it's a nice thing. It's like, doesn't feel exploitative. You know this unhoused person is getting paid, but they're giving you an insight into how you end up on Skid Row or how you end up a drug addict. And it's like, I heard him in an interview say he hopes that his show is like a crash course in empathy. And I would say that he is succeeding, man. It's really fascinating. Some of them are hard to watch, but it's really cool, I think, what he's doing. So I highly recommend you check it out.
Awesome. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Obviously, check out Miles and Jack Got Mad. Boosties. We just got written up on NBA.com. Okay.
Yeah, not be.
God. I mean, purely they're based off the strength of the show, you know, obsessed. Not because it's an official collab and maybe there's some contractual stuff. I like to think of it as this had to happen. It was inevitable. Mm-hmm. But check out Miles and Jack Got Mad. Boosties. Check out 420 Day Fiance. And please, please, please check out the other a new podcast I helped produce called Lords of Soccer, which is about corruption within FIFA. And it's like true crime and sports intersecting with all kinds of dark, murky figures and bags of cash being exchanged. So the World Cups are in weird places or at weird times. Now let's see a tweet I like. First one is from at the NBA Central. They posted a video of these kids, I think, waiting outside of like the Charlotte like practice facility, and they're waiting for like LaMelo. And MJ comes out, and I just want to play this because there's a moment because they're like, it's MJ, and they ask for a picture, and guess what he says?
It's not LaMelo, but it's Michael Jordan! Michael Jordan! Can I get a picture?
He said, hey, calm down.
Huh? Michael Jordan!
He said, can we get a picture? Nah.
He sees them, I feel like, before they see him.
And yeah, he's like,
by the time they see him, he's already telling them to calm down.
Yeah, come on, calm down.
Calm down. Calm down.
Like you've seen somebody before.
Is that what he said?
Hey, can we get it? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I'm pretty sure the first thing, it sounded like he said calm down.
He definitely says calm down. Then he says a sentence that I couldn't make out. And then
I was just channeling my like grumpy black grandfather who would have been said some shit like, act like you've seen somebody before and just chill the fuck out over there. And can we get a picture? Nah.
No.
No.
Michael. No, thank you.
Never stop. Fucking hey, Michael. That man never stops winning. That man never, ever stops winning. Every interaction that man is in, you are versus him, by the way.
Yeah, just so you know. And if he says yes, he lost.
Won that one. Yeah.
That's. I think that's how he looks at it. If I say yes, I lose, the Michael Jordan story. And then
also,
one more.
Fuck them kids, the Michael Jordan story.
Yeah, fuck them kids, Michael Jordan story. Then at, what was it? Dr. John Paul tweeted, Crystal Waters told us that lady was homeless and all we did was dance for that. La-da-dee-da-da-da. It's because she's homeless. She's homeless. Yeah, and it's true. We were just like, she got no money. La-da-dee-da-da-da. We were just like, fuck it. We're good.
All right. At please be nice, G-N-E-I-S-S, tweeted, it is what it is-ing my way through the collapse of civilization, which I think could be the tagline of our podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we have dropped a lot of it is what it is or it's what it's or it's what it is throughout the course of the show. Sheila McKiley tweeted 2022, so much house music, so few homes. And then, I liked it. There were a couple riffs on the, he's a 10, but, or she's a 10, but, Shenanigans tweeted, he's a 10, but no man is a 10. This is propaganda. Please educate yourself. Brooks tweeted, he's a seven, but he ate nine.
Okay.
There's a little riff on a classic joke. And then Adrian Iannicello tweeted, she's a 10, but is the premise of most Seinfeld episodes, which is also true.
Wow. Holy shit.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. And today we got a banger that Miles was playing before we started recording.
Oh, man. So, you know, I shout out Zeit Gang in South Africa. I know on June 16th, you were celebrating a national holiday, June 16th, 1976, uprising, you know, and I've South Africa has been swirling in my mind. And I was on TikTok and I caught a video and I said, what the fuck is this track? And I got put on to this whole house subgenre called Amapiano, A-M-A-P-I-A-N-O. And it's from South Africa and it's fucking dope. It's like every song I've heard done in this style, like it really resonates with me and it's a perfect like summer music. So this is an artist I found called Rusco, R-S-C-O. And the song is called Piano Ting, T-I-N-G. And it is a remix of Amory's One Thing. It's just one thing that got me spinning again. It's one thing that got me tripping. Anyway, but done this Amapiano style, and it's fucking dope. So this is Rusco, Piano Ting. Put it in your ears and just enjoy. Enjoy the ride.
That might be the song that is I most consistently enjoy anytime it is remixed. I fucking love that song. Just it hits every time.
Shout out a fellow Blasian, Amory.
There you go. All right. Well, I highly recommend you check out the footnotes and listen to that song. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.